Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you today to the house of the Lord. Would you please stand with us? We want to begin by opening up with the word of prayer. If you would you please bow your heads and your hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is good to be here today, to be in your house, to be amongst your people. We are excited, Lord, for all that you have prepared for us today. So from the very beginning, Lord God, we invite you into this sanctuary today. We lift you up, we exalt you, and we praise you, Lord. And we are ready to receive from you, Lord. And we pray that as we lift you up today, that you would draw each and every one of us closer to your side. And may everything we do and say bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said out loud, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Fill heaven with angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the Lamb on Jesus' knees, hail the Son of Righteousness, light in life to all He brings, risen with
to give the same.
Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. Give him praise this morning. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill this place, Father. We've come to celebrate you today, Jesus. Without hope and without light, to from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from the throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Yeah, sing it, church. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts of all you've done for us. Let's respond and tell him this morning how much we love him.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, yes, I will see of the goodness of God. So good.
Yeah.
goodness of God one more time. 'Cause I will sing of the goodness of God.
Psalm 134 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, I want men everywhere to lift up their holy hands in prayer to the Lord. Can we just do that for a moment, lifting up our praise to the Lord, our hands lifted as a sign of stretching and pointing toward heaven today. Oh, we bless you and we love you and we praise you today, Lord. Your goodness has been running after us all of these years, Lord. How we love you and bless you today. How we thank you for your faithfulness, your amazing grace, oh Lord, your powerful mercy, Lord, that has changed our lives and has changed our future. Oh, we bless you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that in you is everything we need today. You are our provider, our supply, our healer, our deliverer, our helper. You're our comforter and our peace giver today. We pray in the name of Jesus right now, across the sanctuary, Lord. Pour out your gifts upon your people as we depend upon you and trust in you today, Lord. As we wait upon you today, Lord, and acknowledge you in humility as the giver of all that we need, oh Lord, we pray, pour out upon us today and pour out within us, oh God, today what we need, Lord. We thank you so much for being our faithful, faithful Father. And we love you today, Lord. We love your voice. You've led us through the fire. You've walked with us through difficult times, over mountains and through valleys. You have been faithful. Lord, we declare today, we do not know where we would be or what we would do without you. But we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to find out. You are so faithful to be with us, to hold us, to keep us, to lead us along. We praise you and thank you for all of these blessings, oh Lord. Thank you for these people gathered here in the sanctuary on this early Sunday morning. I pray, Lord God, that we would leave today strengthened and renewed by the power of your Holy Spirit. We don't want to leave here like we came. We came blessed. We want to leave even more blessed today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And we thank you today just for the joy of being in your presence with your precious people today. We commit this service to you and this time in the Word to you today as well, oh God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said a good amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the house of the Lord. You may be seated today as we look together to the Word of God for one more Sunday morning to the 23rd Psalm. I invite you to turn there with us today or read on the screens with us this morning. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around here. And I'm so grateful to Terry Mitchell. Terry's back there. And the whole team who decorated our facilities this past Monday. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, team, for blessing us and providing our beautiful Christmas decorations. We are so blessed today. And I'm so glad that all of you made it through the blizzard to come to church this morning. Oh, it's so good to have dry roads and dry pavement and a dry parking lot today. And we're grateful that you made it to church this morning and so glad to be able to worship the Lord with you today. We look to the 23rd Psalm today, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And everyone said amen. Amen. And then from the Gospel of John in the New Testament, these words from our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And is there anybody in the house today glad that Jesus gave his life and died on an old rugged cross and rose from the dead to be our Savior? Could you say amen? Amen. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, today we come to our third and final message from the 23rd Psalm. As we've been examining this powerful declaration made by David, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of you who've been here these last three Sundays counting today might be saying within yourself, why such a simple passage and why such simple messages here at the beginning of the Christmas season? Well, I just want to say that sometimes the simpler, the better. And this morning, as we look back upon this beautiful psalm that has become familiar to all of us as people of God, and quite frankly, it's become familiar to most of the Christian world, the 23rd Psalm, we recognize that it has become such a star in our minds and in our look at Scripture, the 23rd Psalm, because it is such a powerful word from God. It has risen to such a place of speciality and treasure in our hearts because it is such a powerful and personal word about our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I love the 23rd Psalm. And I love the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm, don't you? So this morning, as we come to our third and final message in the 23rd Psalm, we think about the role and the responsibility of the shepherd. A shepherd is a keeper of sheep. A shepherd leads the sheep and feeds the sheep and protects the sheep. The shepherd counts the sheep. We see that in the New Testament stories. The shepherd is concerned about every single individual sheep. Why? Because he cares for the sheep and he's concerned for the welfare of the sheep. The shepherd calms and comforts the sheep in their times of distress. The shepherd nurses the weak and the sickly sheep back to health and back to strength. And the shepherd values and treasures every little lamb in the flock. A good shepherd loves the sheep, is committed to the sheep, and is faithful to the sheep. That's the role of a good shepherd. Now, the Old Testament will reveal to us as we read through it that there are both good shepherds and bad shepherds. There are good shepherds who are genuinely concerned for their flock, and there are bad shepherds who are only looking out for themselves. They love to fleece the sheep, but they're not very good at feeding the sheep. There are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. Jesus made it clear in the Gospel of John, he is the good shepherd who tends to the sheep and loves the flock. David, who wrote the 23rd Psalm, was a faithful shepherd himself. First as a teenager on the family farm, keeping the flock of sheep out there on the hillside. In fact, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that while the other brothers were all in having a feast, David was left by himself. David, a part of a big family, but was out there by himself on the hillsides watching over the sheep. He was committed to keeping the flock even when the rest of the family was in celebrating and feasting together. David was a faithful shepherd. And then David became a faithful shepherd as a shepherd king over the people and the nation of Israel. Listen to what Asaph wrote in Psalm 78 about David. Hear these words. The Lord chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. So David simply transitioned from being a shepherd over sheep to being a shepherd over people. And the scripture says David shepherded the people of God with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hand. David was a faithful shepherd. And David was well acquainted with the role and the responsibilities of being a faithful shepherd. So when it came down to his own life, David, and his own needs, and might I say, as we tracked down last Sunday morning, David had many needs during his life. David needed the Lord desperately on many days during his life. And when it came down to David's own personal life, and his own needs, and his own security and welfare, David was quick to declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." And from that relationship was birthed into David's spirit, the 23rd Psalm. I have a special appreciation and appreciation for those who write music. I have an appreciation for those who have something stirring in their spirit from God, but many times from the Lord, and begin to write for the body of Christ and the people of God to enjoy in music and psalm, something birthed in their own spirits. We know the 23rd Psalm was birthed in David's spirit by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit inspired David to write this psalm, and yes, to write it out of his own experience. And David would write the 23rd Psalm, which would be a blessing to generations to come. The Lord is my shepherd. Today we claim that relationship for ourselves. Psalm 100 says, "We are the Lord's people and the sheep of his pasture." And the New Testament bears that out. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life." Hebrews calls Jesus that great shepherd of the sheep. Peter says Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And Peter would write again that Jesus, the chief shepherd, is the one who is coming for us again one of these. Thank God our shepherd has not forgotten us. And Jesus says that chief shepherd, Jesus, is coming again for us someday. Everybody say, thank God for our shepherd. 2 weeks ago, this is our third Sunday. In our first lesson, we considered Psalm 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And David said in that first part of the psalm, the Lord is my provider. He is my peacemaker. And he is my pathfinder. He guides me and leads me through life. Last Sunday morning, we examined Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5, the middle of the psalm, where David wrote these words, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord." I want you to notice, as I noted in our first lesson, in the first part of the psalm, David is pointing us to the Lord and says, "He does this for me, he does that for me, he is this to me." But when David gets into the thick of things, he begins to address the psalm directly to the Lord. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." How many of you know it's good to talk about the Lord, but it's even better to talk to the Lord? And David moves in the middle of the psalm when he begins to describe his difficult seasons. He addresses his words directly to the Lord. "You, O Lord, are with me in the valley. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil so that my cup is running over." David says in that middle portion of the psalm, the Lord is my protector and my provider and my peace, even when I'm submerged in darkness in the valley and when I'm surrounded by dangers with enemies lurking all around me, the Lord gives me peace and protection and provision. And I can make it through any valley with the Lord on my side. Would you say amen? So David's already covered a lot of territory in just five simple verses. Today we come to the final verse in this psalm and our final message, verse number 6. And David's statement of confidence about the future. David says, the Lord has been faithful all of these years. The Lord is faithful even now as I'm going through things. And I'm confident the Lord will be faithful in the days to come. Now listen, how many of you here today have a testimony that God has been good in your life? Say amen. It's one thing to say, look what the Lord has done. It's another thing to say, look what the Lord is doing. But it's another thing altogether to have the confidence to say, look what the Lord is going to do in the days to come. That changes the way we move into the future, doesn't it? To know that God has been faithful, he is being faithful, and that he will be faithful into the days to come, that changes the way we face the future. And David closes the 23rd Psalm with this beautiful declaration in verse number 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd in this earthly life, and whatever I've got left of it. Some of you here today, you've got more life left than others, right? Some of us have been through a lot of life and don't have a lot of life left. Some of us have been through a little life and have a lot of life left if Jesus tarries. We don't know where we are in the spectrum. The reality is, the Apostle James said, we don't even know what tomorrow holds. Look at me, everybody. All of us might have to face God tomorrow. Do you know that? But whatever there is left of this life, David says, the Lord is going to be proceeding before me into the future, and his goodness and love are going to be following after me, and I've got a place with the Lord forever. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd in this earthly life, and he's going to be my shepherd into and throughout that eternal life when this life is over. Now look up at me, everybody, and remember this. I reminded you last Sunday that these blessings are blessings pronounced upon the sheep who are following the shepherd. Are you here this morning? The whole world wants to claim Psalm 23 when many have never even voiced any affection or affirmation of the Lord Jesus, our shepherd. The reality is the Lord is our shepherd as we come into his flock and his fold and as we begin a relationship with the shepherd. Are you here? So these are the blessings for those who've come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep so that we might come into the family of God. I believe that most of us in the house this morning are sheep who are following the shepherd. How many here today, Jesus is your Savior and you're walking with Jesus? You are following the good shepherd in your life. Say a good amen. Well, then the Lord will be your shepherd throughout this earthly life and into that eternal life. Let's begin with this earthly life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Everybody say this with me, all the days. Say it out loud, all the days of my life. So David is pronouncing this confidence about the future. As we've said in both of our lessons thus far, we don't know where David was in life when he wrote this psalm. He may have been young, he may have been old, but he knew the Lord his shepherd. And David is pronouncing at the end of the psalm this confidence about the future. And I love David's confidence because verse number 6 begins with the word surely. Everybody say surely. David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my... Surely it will. Is the Lord good? Surely he is. Amen. Will the Lord take care of me? Surely. Will the Lord stick with me? Surely. Will the Lord get me through? Surely he will. Am I going to be blessed in this life? Surely I am. This is a declaration of absolute confidence in the Lord. I know who the Lord is. I know who he's been to me. I know that he's promised me many things, and he's come through on those promises. I'm going to continue to trust him into the future. He is going to be faithful all through this earthly life. So when we hear David say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of the life, I have a few takeaways from that. Is everybody awake with me today? Say amen. These are my takeaways. One, this is a lasting relationship between me and my shepherd. When David says all the days of my life, that is a note about a lasting relationship with the Lord. This is not some flash in the pan relationship with God that you might have as a young person and then discard to go live a life on your own. This is a relationship that is begun with God, that is meant to last, that is meant to last all the days of your life. I hope that everybody in the house this morning is praising Jesus when it comes time for you to say goodbye, world, goodbye, and make your way out of this earth. I hope that you are determined to follow Jesus all the days of your life. For David, this was an expression of confidence in the Lord. The Lord's going to be with me all the days of my life. And it's an expression of commitment to the Lord. Just as the Lord is going to be with me all the days of my life, I'm going to be with the Lord all the days of my life. You might be here today and you might say, well, we don't know what the future holds. I say to you, as the old song declares, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen. Could I have a better amen? Amen. We may not know what tomorrow looks like, but one thing we can count on, God is there already. God knows the future. He holds the future in his hands. And that declaration of David says, the Lord is going to be committed to me all the days of my life, and I'm going to commit my life to the Lord all the days of my life. And listen, sometimes we think about the Lord's promise to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's try that out. Say that with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How about making that declaration to the Lord about your own commitment to him? Have you ever thought about turning that around and saying to the Lord, oh Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you? That ought to be our determination and our commitment. Could you say amen? Lord, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, well, how can you say that about how do you know? Well, listen, at the very least, that ought to be our determination and our statement of declaration of the direction of our life. Is there anybody here who's intending to live for Jesus and to follow the Lord all the days of your life? Is there anybody like that? I declare that. I've quoted it many times, but I love it. Old sister Vera Frazier, who was in the church when I first became the pastor here, she always said this, Pastor, I didn't get in to get out. And boy, that is true. We didn't get in to get out. And I'll tell you, once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, where else would you ever want to go anyway? I'll tell you, this is the best life. Isn't living for Jesus the best life anyway? Say amen. So this is a lasting relationship all the days of my life. The second thing I take from David's statement that goodness and mercy, love will follow me all the days of my life is this takeaway. This is a life of receiving. this life that I live, this is a life of receiving from the Lord over and over, day after day, year after year. David said, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness is following me all the days of my life. Now, I have been a follower of Jesus since I was a little bitty kid. I turned 60 years old earlier this year, just about a couple months ago. Can't even remember when. I'm old enough not to know when my birthday was exactly. I've been 60 for several weeks now. And I gave my heart to Jesus when I was just a little bitty boy. I don't know when it first took, because we were singing at my bedside every night, Into My Heart, Lord Jesus. We sang it every night. Mom and Dad led us in that song, inviting Jesus. So I don't know when it first took. I remember a night at the altar that I've shared with you about when I came and cried out to Jesus to save me. But I've been following Jesus. I haven't been perfect, but I have been following Jesus for about 55 plus years. And I have to say that when I was a little bitty baby, I was following Jesus because my mom and dad were dragging me along. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We could go into some theology in that from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We don't have time to do that, but aren't you glad for a life lived for the Lord? Some of you are here today and you haven't served the Lord very long maybe, but listen, I want to just tell you, the longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows. And the better it gets, the more you're faithful in living for Jesus, the more you recognize this is a life of receiving the blessings of God into my life over and over and over again. Last night, one of our retired ministers who's been in the hospital this last week and been going through a really difficult time with his health, he just went on and on the phone with me about how good the Lord has been to him. I was out at the store, Jim, with you when he called on the phone. We had to pause our activity in the store there in the antique store because this precious brother was telling me on the phone, God has been so good. He said, I just cannot tell you how good the Lord has been to me. He's been preaching that all these years, but thank God you don't have to preach something that you don't experience for yourselves. And the Lord has been giving and giving and giving. Is there anybody here who's been blessed in your life by the Lord? Blessed in, this is a life of receiving the blessings of the Lord. All the good things we enjoy in life, these are blessings of God's goodness to us. Running, this is a lasting relation. This earthly life, following the shepherd, this is a lasting relationship. This is a life of receiving. And thirdly, this is a lavish love. Psalm 23, verse 6 here says, surely goodness and love. It's mercy in the King James Version, but it's a loving mercy or a merciful love, whichever, however you want to see it, it's the love of God poured into our lives. Surely this love will follow me all the days of my life. All of these good blessings we receive from God are marks of his love for us. Do you see that? He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to bless us. I'm telling you here this morning, we don't have to beg and plead for the blessings of a God who wants to play hard to get. Our God loves us. He loves us so much that he would give his own son for us. He loves us. And this is a lavish love poured out upon us by the Lord. And fourthly, I would just say this. In this earthly life, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. This is a lifelong revelation and realization. Let's think about this. As I keep living on in life, my life gets fuller and fuller and richer and richer with the blessings of the Lord. Isn't that right? Oh, the longer I live for the Lord, the more he does for me. The more he blesses me. Isn't that right? And the more I realize, the more it's revealed to me, and I realize, oh, this is all the Lord's goodness in my life. I'll tell you, friends, when you're a young person facing some tragedy, it's hard to understand Romans 28, in all things God is working together for good to those who love him. But I'll tell you, when you've been around the block a few times, it becomes easier to see that in every season of life, God is working. God is helping. I think we won't experience the fullness of that revelation until we close out this life and get to heaven. And then we realize, oh yes. All of that that I endured through life, all the blessings of God that I experienced in life, and all of the trials even, in all of that, God was working to ultimately bring me to the place of being in his presence in heaven forever. So the longer I live life, the more revelation comes to me, and the more I realize, oh, God is so faithful. Because I can look back to there and there and there and there and there and there. I can look back to all of these times that God came through for me and brought me through things and blessed me in ways that I never deserved. And so I just keep observing. And the more I listen, how many of you believe in observing the facts and coming to a fact-based conclusion? How many of you believe in that? Yeah. The rest of you are asleep in the house today, I know. How many of you are glad that when we observe the record of God in our lives, we come to the conclusion that our God is indeed a good and a faithful God? Yeah, so good. So this is a life of revelation and realizing just how good God is. In this earthly life, goodness and love has followed me and will follow me all the days of my life. Let me pause right there to say this. Are you here today and you're worried about something? You're troubled about something? You're afraid of something? I just want to urge you this morning, just lay it down before the Lord your shepherd. Are you here? Just cast your cares upon him. As Psalm 55 says, just throw your burden over on the Lord and he will sustain you. It's our choice to do that. Do you want to be plagued with worry and fear and fretting? Or do you want to experience the peace of God that comes from trusting him? Just throw it all over on the Lord. In faith, make a decision. I refuse to live in fear. I'm going to live in confidence in the God who has been faithful in my life and who has promised to be with me all the days of my life. Yeah. So David says, in this earthly life, the Lord is my shepherd. And the psalm then moves, which I believe is just a... I believe all the scriptures are supernatural in that they are inspired by God. I believe this, the word of God is living and active because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever had a reaction in your own life to the word of God? Certainly you have. The word of God comes at you and it touches your heart. So I believe all of the word of God is supernatural and inspired by God. But for David as an Old Testament saint, I believe this was a real supernatural declaration that he makes. Because the promises of God had not been revealed in their fullness until the gospel came about what awaits for us in heaven. There were certainly some promises in the Old Testament about eternal life and the resurrection and those kinds of things, but the fullness of that revelation would come in the pages of the New Testament with the gospel of Jesus, who said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and come again, and you're going to be able to live with me forever in heaven. How many glad for that? Say amen. But in the Old Testament, there was limited understanding of that and limited scripture. But when David concludes his statement about the Lord's faithfulness in this earthly life, he moves on to point toward that eternal life. And he makes this declaration, I will dwell in the... Notice now, notice the contrast here. Are you with me? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Say that with me, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a distinct contrast there between all the days of my life and forever. I know that to be the case. We buried my dad just a few weeks ago. I know the days of this earthly life do not extend forever. How many of you know that well enough? So all the days of my life does not equal up to forever. In fact, Moses said in Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I want to live all the days of this life in God's wisdom. But I have to know that these days, the days of this life, are numbered. This life, should Jesus delay his coming, this earthly life will come to an end. And that's where David says in the closing of the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. So David expresses confidence not only in the Lord's presence in this life, but in the Lord's presence and the Lord's house where we will dwell in all of eternity, in the future that will last forever. Well, what are my takeaways from that? They are these. One, I have an invitation to a future beyond this life. Right? There's something beyond this. And I have a personal invitation from my shepherd to lead me into that next life. As the scripture declares that Jesus has laid down his life for the sheep, Jesus did that so that he might lead us into everlasting life. He died on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven, so that every barrier that stood between us and God might be knocked down and wiped away, and so that we might be able to live in the favor and the blessing of God, not only in this life, but in eternal life. And I have an invitation to that. And every person under the sound of my voice, you have an invitation to heaven. Whosoever will, let him come and be saved by trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What good news it is today that you don't have to spend this day dreading. You don't have to spend this life dreading what lies beyond this life. You can have confidence that the Lord has a plan and a place prepared for you when this life is over. Hallelujah. I have an invitation to a future beyond this life. The second truth is this, I have an immediate future beyond this life. David says, surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life. And without even pausing for a breath, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That truth is clarified for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when the apostle Paul writes these words, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Think about this, all the days of my, what if you live to be 99 and 9/10 years old? What if you live to be 99 years old as a follower of Jesus? Well, the Lord will be with you in year number 99. Aren't you glad? What if you live that long? If you live that long and you die on your 100th birthday, then your 99th year will close out in this life, but your 100th year will begin. I guess all the clocks go back, don't they? And it all starts afresh and anew. When you close out this life, we have an immediate life in heaven. Aren't you glad for that? So we can rejoice. I often say in funeral services, which traditionally are 3 or 4 or 5 days after the death. I often say, while we're celebrating here on earth, while we're celebrating our precious friend's earthly life, their eternal life has already begun in the presence of the Lord. I hesitate even theologically. I hesitate sometimes, though I use the traditional language. But sometimes even as we're officiating a graveside service, I hesitate using language like this at a funeral service, as a graveside service. We commit him into the hands of the Lord. I hesitate saying that because I know biblically and in my spirit that though I might want to say we commit him into the hands of the Lord, he's already been in the hands of the Lord all week. We're trying to fulfill some ceremony and pronounce some declaration about committing somebody into the hands of the Lord. But the reality is they're already in the hands of the Lord, as God has received them at their death into his presence. So I have an invitation beyond this life. I'll have an immediate future beyond this life. Thirdly, I have an incredible future beyond this life. It's the house of the Lord where I'm gonna live forever. And don't you know, the house of the Lord is full of good stuff. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving? Say amen. And how many of you ate some good stuff? Say amen. When we get to the house of the Lord, friends, we ain't seen nothing yet. And when we get into the presence of the Lord in the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord is full of the blessings of God. And David said, listen, David ended up being the king of Israel. But listen, even the king's palace is nothing compared to the house of the Lord. Sometimes we talk about this being the house of the Lord. This will have to do, I guess, until we get up there. But one day we're going to step into the house of the Lord where we will dwell forever. What a wonderful day it's going to be when we finally make it home to heaven. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. In the house of the Lord is everything we could ever imagine. Most importantly, in the house of the Lord, there's Jesus waiting. He's prepared a place for us in the house of the Lord. And lastly, as I think about dwelling in the house of the Lord, I pick up on that last word in Psalm 23, the word forever. I often, when my mom was in the nursing home and I would visit her in the nursing home, we would quote scripture together and we would quote the 23rd Psalm together on a regular basis. And I always quizzed her. She, even in her state of not remembering everything, my mom remembered the scripture. She remembered songs and she remembered the scriptures. And she could quote scripture like crazy. And we would quote the 23rd Psalm together, but I would always quiz her on the last word. I would say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the Lord, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long, Mom? And she would shout it out, forever. And the good news is our life with the Lord in the house of the Lord will go on forever and ever and ever. What a promise God has given us through his amazing grace. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd in this earthly life, and he'll be my shepherd in that eternal life. In fact, Revelation chapter 7 says that when we get to heaven, now think about the irony of this. Revelation 7 says, the Lamb will be our shepherd. Think about the Lamb. We've got the symbolism all mixed up here, it seems, but Jesus was the Lamb of God who laid down his life as well as our good shepherd. Isn't that right? Paid the price. And the Lamb will be our shepherd in heaven and will lead us to springs of living water. Our faithful shepherd will lead us through this life and all the way home to heaven. And so my responses are these. I will live this life fully. as a follower of my shepherd. How many in the house are determined today to live for Jesus all the days of your life? Put up your hand, say amen. You say, I hope I can make it. When I was a kid growing up in church, we had testimony service. Ah, never again. Those testimony services took on their own lives, let me tell you. I've been in hour-long testimony services in the middle of a church service. How many of you are glad we don't do that here at First Assembly? I've heard many people stand and say the same things in testimony services over and over again. Every time it came time, they'd stand and they'd say the same thing. I've heard people say this in testimony service. They'd stand and say, pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. Now, how much victory does that sound like you've got in your Christian walk? Pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. As if I'm just hanging on to Jesus by my fingernails. Any moment I might drop away from him. I want to tell you this morning, not only can you follow Jesus all the days of your life, but you can follow Jesus closely and confidently, and you can follow him in victory all the days of your life. Listen, if you'll choose to follow Jesus, you will follow Jesus. Yeah. So I'm going to live this life fully as a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to look forward to that forever that he has prepared for me. Thank God, as God's children and as the sheep of his pasture, we've got it made. The Lord is our shepherd. Amen. Amen.